Kings play the Suns tomorrow night. Kyle Draper joining us now. Go ahead, Kyle. Go ahead. Go ahead. Have your fun. Have your fun. Oh, we're not hearing Kyle Draper. At least there we go. We got you. We got you, Kyle.
Can you guys see me? You got me now?
I can hear you. Yes.
Can you see me, Whitey, on the YouTube chat?
Yes. Yes. What is
can
that?
Can you see me, though?
What is that? What? Why would
you see what I'm wearing, right?
Yeah. Is that a rain poncho you got? What? Why would you wear that today? That has nothing to do with it.
It don't matter what it is.
Yeah.
I'm representing, baby. We finished just like the Niners this year. Losers. It's okay. It's okay. You know, there was only one winner in the NFL, and it's all good. And so, what a game. What a game.
You watched it with the team, and I guess.
How you feeling? You all right?
Was the Eagles in the game, Whitey?
No, they were not. That's kind of. That's not the way I would play it. Let me put it that
Jay's
way.
Jay's in the building. I thought Jay would be at home crying. Yeah,
you scared me and don't win. Come on now, brother. Unlike a lot of these other cats who get television shows after their name, radio shows after their name, as I continue to keep on saying, man, you know, it's politics in this. I don't run from this, brother. I stand on 10 toes.
Yeah, yeah. That was
I thought you were going to call in sick.
Why would he call
in
sick?
I'm 100% healthy.
Because he said he's about to cry. He's, you know, crying tears after that loss.
No need to, bro.
Yeah. Niners Nation. Okay. Let me say this, though, before we get into the game, fellas. I brought this Eagles poncho here, whatever you want to call it. But I also brought my Brock Purdy jersey.
Yeah?
And if the Niners would have won, I would have worn the Brock Purdy jersey on the air today.
Good.
And so
let me see. I got to see proof.
I would give. Hold on. Hold up.
We got to see proof. We got to see proof, Whitey. Mm-hmm. Do you believe he had the Purdy with him?
You know, I think I do believe him. Bam. But we're having some. It is like a poncho. What is he wearing? It's like an Eagles blanket or something.
You know what?
There's the jersey. Yeah. I believed you. Yeah.
I got this from Mexico. I got this from Mexico.
I would. Yeah, that's what
And so. But I was ready, man. I was ready in case the Niners won to bow down to the altar of Brock Purdy. I was ready to eat my words. Now I don't have to say anything. My words, they still ring true. And so I thought it was a great game yesterday, though, man.
Which words did you say that ring true?
If you go back to what we first started, I said this about Brock Purdy. Tremendous quarterback. He's a good quarterback. I'm not going to take anything. But the way you guys were talking about him, putting him in the category of Montana, putting him in the category of Brady, I said, do we really think when he lines up with Patrick Mahomes on the other sideline that this is the guy to get it done? And he almost did. It wasn't his fault yesterday. But
I agree.
Patrick Mahomes is special. And so, but guess who else was special? Tom Brady. Joe Montana. And so let's leave Brock Purdy out of the conversation of the all-time greats. People did Brock Purdy a disservice by mentioning those guys in the same sentence as him. Brock Purdy's a fine quarterback. He's going to have a fine career. But what happened this season is criminal with those defenders of Brock Purdy did by mentioning him in the category of those all-time greats.
I don't think that's true. He's certainly not Mahomes. You know, if you're going to criticize Brock Purdy by saying he's not Mahomes, okay, I think we knew that. Brock Purdy, I thought, played really well at times yesterday. Overall, I thought he had a very good game. He dealt with the pressure really well. They didn't win, but I don't think it was because, well, if they had a special quarterback, they would have won. We can disagree on that, but I thought he played well. I thought the problem for the 49ers, and he bears some of the weight for this, is they didn't take advantage of opportunities to score early in the game. You know, the halftime, we all know they should have probably been up more than 10-3. But here's something that's really stunning to me, Kyle, putting our, you know, back and forth aside. The early mistakes the 49ers made, you had McCaffrey, of all people, fumbling on that first drive where they were really came out crisply. It's like, here they go, like 6 yards, 11 yards, 18-yard pass, 11 yards, 11 yards. Oh, fumble by McCaffrey. Then – All right, they get the ball back, and you got false start, Trent Williams. Then on the next play, holding Trent Williams. It's like, wait a minute. McCaffrey and Trent Williams are killing us. That's not supposed to happen.
You're 100% right about that. I mean, this to start the game the way they did, I was worried. You know, I was like, uh-oh, Niners are about the business. They're controlling the line of scrimmage. But then the errors that they made in that game, and it was the superstars that made errors, the Trent Williams, the CMCs, those are the guys you're supposed to count on. Those are the guys you're supposed to believe in and lead you. And I don't know if the moment was too big, things happened, because Mahomes threw an interception too. It's the Super Bowl. Things happen. But you're right, Whitey. They didn't lose that game in the fourth quarter and then overtime. They lost it in the first half. When Kansas City was only down 10-3 going into the second half, they had to feel good. I didn't see Patrick Mahomes nervous. He wasn't worried. He was cool, calm, and collected all throughout. And I thought the Niners outplayed the Chiefs, especially in that first half, but it didn't really show up on the scoreboard, and I think that's what hurt them.
I thought the 49ers were going to win when, okay, they went into halftime 10-3, and there was that odd feeling, you know, that – for 49er fans, little anxiety that, wow, this lead should be bigger and it's not. And, you know, you may not get a chance to make that up. Then the Chiefs come out, start the second half, and they look terrible. Here you know that they got together and they reworked their game plan. They come out, look terrible. Mahomes throws an interception on a really bad throw. And when the 49ers made that interception, when Brown intercepted that pass, I thought, 49ers are going to win this game. They're going to go in there and score at least a field goal. They ended up punting when they didn't score there. It was like, okay, this is going to be a slog the rest of the way. They almost pulled it out, but credit all the credit to the Chiefs who just – the Chiefs reminded me of the Spurs when the Spurs were winning championships, because when it was time to win the game, the great teams like the Spurs, the Patriots, the Lakers, you know, Magic Johnson, those great teams is like – that's what culture is. It's like – okay, we know what to do. We've done this, and now we're going to win the game. And the 49ers had really no answer for that when push came to shove.
No, you're 100% right about that. And that goes back to, you know, what I said just a second ago about Patrick Mahomes. You know, you would think the way the Chiefs' offense was being stymied early, the way you were down early 10-0 at one point, down by 10 points at one point, you would think that, uh-oh, time to panic. I never got the sense that Pat Mahomes was pressing, was worried. And that goes to your point. The greats, they have a way when it's time to elevate their game in those two drives, the end of regulation and then the end of overtime. Those are two of the greatest drives we've seen in NFL history in terms of being clutch. Like, and I'm thinking to myself, man, they got to march down the field. They got to, you know, go through this Niners defense. But the one guy that could do it, the one guy that's currently in the NFL that you don't bet against in those situations is Patrick Mahomes. And so we could talk about the Niners losing this game, the muffed punt, you know, special teams, the fumbles, the penalties, whatever. But I got to give the Chiefs a lot of credit, man.
Oh, yeah. No question about that. Absolutely, no question.
That defense played extremely well. Like, they did fantastic. The defense kept them in that game until Patrick Mahomes and the offense got going late.
Yeah. It was interesting because, you know, the 49ers, their first possession of overtime, had a chance to score a touchdown. But then on that fateful third down play, had Jones unblocked somehow. And Purdy knows. He knows where he's got to throw the ball. He knows Jennings is going to get out there, but he just had to hurry it, and it's incomplete. They kick the field goal. And after the game, Purdy says, we just didn't want to kick a field goal and give Patrick Mahomes a chance to march downfield and win the game with a touchdown. And that's exactly what happened. So they knew it was coming. It's funny talking about Mahomes and these. Yeah, it's exactly what happened. The way that Mahomes and the Chiefs have been together through all this, Brock Purdy is, and this is not a criticism, but he's only in his – you know, this is his second year, and he's playing on a team with all these veterans. So they've been in some big games, but he hasn't been in that many of them with them. So, you know, they didn't have that same – he played well, but it wasn't a matter of Brock going over to Kyle Shanahan, you know, and going, okay, remember what we did last year in the Super Bowl, any of that. So There was just, they're not quite on the same timeline. If Brock Purdy had only been the 49ers quarterback in 2019, then I think we would have had quite a game yesterday. But, I mean, we had quite a game as it was. We both wished for a close game, and we definitely got that.
We got it. And, you know, it, you're right, because it looked like to me Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they've been there, done that. We can get on Kyle Shanahan. This isn't his first Super Bowl.
Right.
What was his excuse? Some of the calls he made. I thought right from the opening kick, I thought they won the toss. So I'm like, how are they getting the ball? Did I miss something on that, Whitey?
They lost the toss.
Like, I thought the Niners won the toss, and I'm like, oh. And Niners fans in the building, they were excited. Oh, we're going to, you know, kick, and this is what we do. And then they took the ball. Did I miss that?
Yeah, they lost the toss.
Yeah, they lost the toss to start the game.
Yeah, Fred Warner called tails, and it was heads.
So that's what happened there. They did win.
Sorry, you cut out.
Yeah. They lost the toss to start the game. They won the toss in overtime. And a lot of people are critical of Shanahan. And I'll tell you what, my prediction is that at some point this week, a couple days from now, some talking head somewhere, some idiot's going to say, I don't think Kyle Shanahan knew the rules of the overtime. A former coach told me Kyle Shanahan doesn't know the rules. Kyle Shanahan knew the rules. The team didn't, which is something I know we'll talk about. And that was a controversial decision, but Kyle apparently wanted the ball the third time. We're going to score. They're going to score. Then we want the ball back. So that was his thinking there. But as far as, yeah, the start of the game, they did lose the toss there. So we can criticize them for many things, but not for that.
Okay. I tell you what, you know, and we're going to get into the Super Bowl. My viewing experience was not ideal, fellas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hanging with the team. We're all in this, you know, like this bar area. We had the upper, and guess what happened?
What?
The signal went out.
No!
We had DirecTV, and the signal went out as we're all watching the game. Yes, yes. They had snow and storms in Oklahoma, so people started pulling out their iPhones, their iPads, and we're watching it on that. And then ultimately, they got it back up. They streamed it through somebody's iPad and so through somebody's laptop. So
wow.
My viewing experience, I'll admit, was not great. And I couldn't go back to the hotel room, guys. I couldn't go back to the room because the signal was out in the room as well. And so as great as the game was, the viewing experience, it was pretty awful.
All right. So, yeah, anything you say bad about the Niners, I'm just going to say, you didn't even see
the
game.
Watch it.
You didn't see the game. Right? So we have
you didn't even see it, Drake.
Yeah. we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we got some Drapes takes on, I don't know if it's going to be Kings yesterday, the Super Bowl commercials, or all that, what he did see of it. That's next year. Drapes in Phoenix today. Whitey here in Sacramento. It's the Drive Guys on. Well, that was a tough loss for the 49ers. I have to give credit to Jay. Jay, who I was worried about you, brother, and it sounds like you're doing okay with it. I know you wanted the 49ers to win, but
sure.
Sounds like you're not going to let it ruin your life.
No, no. You know, unfortunately, they took the loss. And the great part about it is that I think you guys know me enough, and hopefully the listeners know me enough, that when I dish it enough to the point I'm going to take it, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to stand here and let Drapes get it off with the poncho, you know, even though it's an Eagle situation. I mean, I would rather see the Chiefs at this point. Matter of fact, I would have rather him come in with a Detroit Lions poncho than the Philadelphia Eagles. But the other part of it, too, man, is this. We've all played sports. You guys have had opportunities to coach sports. There's only one winner, right?
Yep.
There's always other losers. And unfortunately, at this point, when it comes to the 49ers, the luck just isn't on the 49ers side. And I thought, just in a brief, you know, description, I thought the 49ers played pretty well. I thought they're offensively, there was a few things. For me, I thought Shanahan didn't really help them a lot. I also think their stars didn't have good games. You guys touched on the Trent Williams situation. The other part of it, too, I thought McCaffrey had tired legs. I thought Shanahan didn't go to Elijah Mitchell and Mason, which he hasn't been doing all year anyway. And then the other part of it is I really thought, and this is going to spring the ears to our favorite, one of our favorite callers, TC, I thought Shanahan had a terrible play calling game.
Did you?
Yet again, man. I really didn't. I didn't think he gave any opportunity and help to Purdy.
Really?
Along with some. Yeah, I did, Drapes, because there were opportunities where second and two, and you could see in the course. Now, I was there. I was blessed to be there. So I could see the whole field. I could see some of the players. I saw a lot of the Chiefs' hands on hips very early. And he was not, you know, he was giving them a leash to continue. Hmm. They had an opportunity to put Pat Mahomes away. Let me say this too. Pat Mahomes had a good day. He didn't have a great day.
Right.
He had a good drive. When it counted.
He made some big plays.
No, yeah. Well, hold on, though. Oh, go ahead, Drapes. Go ahead. He had good drives sometimes when they counted. Go ahead, Drapes.
That was an all-time great performance.
By Pat Mahomes?
Patrick Mahomes yesterday.
The whole game.
Because
encompassing the whole game.
I don't need 400 yards.
Yes, you do. When it comes to Purdy, you do.
Most. That's what I want from my quarterbacks, Jay. And Patrick Mahomes led them on multiple drives that they needed to have, and he got the job done.
But that wasn't an all-time. Like, we're not going down in history to say he had a fantastic all-time game. Like, if you believe that was a all-time game, then that's the short end of an all-time game stick. He didn't go out there and perform to the greatest of his ability. He was shut down in many ways, yet again, like the 49ers did back in 19. He didn't – I mean, he had a drive when it counted. I give you that. But as far as the whole game, it wasn't like he was out there operating and cutting them up.
And Jay, that's what really hurts from the 49ers' standpoint. They've played the Chiefs twice now. Neither time have they seen the full Mahomes.
Yeah.
And he's beaten them twice anyway.
Absolutely.
That's frustrating.
But this is the thing. He got away with the duck that was over Jair Brown's head.
Yeah.
Like, that's not skill. That's luck. That's not having a great game. If Purdy would have did that, man, people would be throwing their hands left and right. Any other quarterback does that, we're going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thing is, if we're going to call a spade, let's call a spade a spade. Pat Mahomes had a good game. Purdy had a good game. Pat Mahomes scored a touchdown. Purdy scored a field goal. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Mahomes didn't come out here running around doing electric stuff. He wasn't making plays. He wasn't doing all that. Come on, Drake. Stop that. Come on, man. He didn't have a fantastic game.
Pat Mahomes was clutch, though. He was clutch.
Yeah.
Was that an all-time clutch performance, though?
A drive. I give you the drive was clutch.
He won a Super Bowl. He
yeah.
made big plays when he
yeah.
needed to win a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
I think that's saying enough. That's pretty good.
Yeah. He didn't have an all-time good. Like, he didn't throw for 350. Nick Foles had an all-time great game. We're talking about that's an all-time, a rabbit out the hat,
yeah.
400-some-odd yards, out-dueled Tom Brady, threw for four TDs, made all the play. Like, Pat Mahomes was looking very regular at plenty of times during the game.
Guys, look at the last three Kansas City drives. 11 plays, 64 yards. No, I'm going to go back before that. 12 plays, 69 yards. 11 plays, 64 yards. 13 plays, 75 yards. That's an all-time great performance when you needed it the most. Those were huge drives, and he orchestrated those. It wasn't like the Niners rolled over and gave it to him, or is a 5-yard slant that they took it for 80. He marched them down the final three drives when they needed plays to be made. He made the plays.
He did. He did. I'm with you. I don't call it all-time great performance, but he won a Super Bowl.
Right.
I think that's
he had a good performance,
good
and
I mean,
he had
he
a good
MVP
clutch.
And
right.
I got no issues with that. I thought both defenses got a little worn out, didn't you guys? I mean, on both sides down the stretch.
Okay. Yeah, and rightfully so. Yeah. I mean, you know, I thought, you know, like you said, the line of scrimmage, you know, both teams were able to exploit that. I thought, you know, in that late fourth quarter and overtime as well. And that may have went into Kyle Shanahan's decision to take the ball to start over.
Yeah,
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
You can't ask for much more
Yeah.
From the defense, what it's worth, played pretty well yesterday.
Yeah, they did. I will say there was a couple times. I agree with you, Whitey, and it sounds like you agree with this. I do, Drapes. I do believe them taking the ball first, even though Shanahan said, look, I want the ball third, and we found out they didn't have all the rules, you know, I guess figured out is what they said. But I also thought, and I said this to Emil, our 49ers insider who was sitting next to me, when they got when they won the coin toss, I said, I think the Niners defense is gassed because they had just come off the field mm-hmm. trying to stop Mahomes when they scored the field goal. The other thing I also thought too was there were a couple times, and you could see in the beginning of the game, which very surprised me a lot, the Niners were actually matching what the Chiefs were doing. You know, once Greenlaw went out, Oren Burks would come in, Flanagan Fowles would come in for like first down, and then they would go to Logan Ryan for the nickel package, mm-hmm. which let me know they were playing man quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I thought in the third and fourth quarter, especially in the fourth quarter, Wilkes went back to the zone, and they went to like a zone three, and it wasn't even over the top, kind of like what you see Seattle or a lot of the Baltimore Ravens run. Yeah. I thought they went to like zone four, which is two deep high safety guys. And you would see the corners. Like, I'm looking at the corner. I'll give you an example. Second and 22, right, in the fourth quarter, Shavarius and Demo and Logan Ryan were all playing 10 yards off. They got a 10-yard it was an exact 10-yard slant to, I can't remember who it was, and it was third and 12. If you play that normal, we're looking at third and 17. Mm-hmm. That's a little different. And then they threw the pass to Travis Kelce.
You know, it's really interesting, Jay, to your point, and I think it was the fourth quarter. There was a play you probably wouldn't remember. I just remember it because Tony Romo commented on it. And the Chiefs were getting ready to snap the ball, and I think it was a crucial third down, and the 49ers called timeout. And Romo said, Kyle Shanahan called that timeout because they're in cover zero, and he didn't want them to be in cover zero. And he told Steve Wilkes, nope, you give me something else.
Yeah, go back to that prevent, that zone stuff. Yeah. There was another time, too, Drapes, before you jump on, where it was third and two because they were going to the east side. Yeah, so they were going, to the west side of the stadium. So that would have been third quarter. And you seen that the 49ers switch from zone. You could see Fred Warner pointing out to Oren Burks, like, go there, move to the left, go that way towards Mecole Hardman and him. And you could tell they went from zone to man, and Pat Willis caught them, and they got a first down. Mm-hmm. And that has nothing to do with nothing to do with Pat Mahomes. That's the 49ers' error. And all they did was throw a handoff, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm saying is, like, he was clutch when it happened. Purdy was clutch when it happened. He took him down there. They just didn't score a touchdown. I just thought the 49ers played a little more scared and preventive, which we've been arguing all year. And Shanahan, which was crazy in the first half, he went for it on fourth down, and he started to get a little bit shaky where it's like, oh, okay, I don't want to blow it again. And you could see it.
But couldn't you see why defensively they might have been a little more conservative when they were down, you know, Dre Greenlaw getting hurt. That was huge. And that's football.
Come on, man. How's that football, Whitey?
Yeah.
Well, no.
Drake's real quick, though. Like, not to cut you off, Whitey.
Guys get hurt. That's all I'm saying.
But he's not even playing.
What?
He wasn't even playing. He was jogging onto the field. How does the injuries happen that way?
That was a freak injury.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a freak injury.
Right. I know that. Are you saying it was the turf?
I don't know what it was.
All I'm saying is I understand why they were more conservative defensively without Dre Greenlaw. That's all I'm saying. When I say that's football, I mean you have to play without your guys sometimes. As far as how he got hurt running on the field, I couldn't tell you. That was a strange one. Don't know about that one. Let's take a timeout. We'll get back to Kyle Draper. And we're having some issues with Kyle's connection. We're getting to work on that. Thanks for your patience, Kyle. Thank you. Dear listener, for your patience, we'll be right back with Shanahan's overtime decision. Did that doom the 49ers? As we roll on here, Kyle Draper is in Phoenix, and Kyle just arrived there about 2 hours ago, so we're working on his connection. Nothing he could do. He literally just got to Phoenix, so we'll get him back on there as soon as possible. Kind of a coincidence that we have a bad connection with a guy who's been bad-mouthing the 49ers all year, but that's just I don't know. It's just the way it goes, Jay. Jay was in Vegas yesterday, so I know that had to sting actually seeing it happen. How about like the halftime show and just the atmosphere surrounding the game yesterday, Jay?
Yeah, I thought it was buzzing, brother. I mean, there were opportunities. And I'll say this, when we got into – well, I got in Tuesday night. I think I was the last one of the Sac Sports 1140 crew to land. My Uber, the first person, I was like, hey, has it been busy or whatever? And I looked at the price, and it wasn't too extreme. And so it's like, has it been busy? I was like, no, it's been pretty slow, the norm for Las Vegas. That was Tuesday evening, And so, of course, as we know it, you've been to multiple radio rows and, of course, Super Bowls. It gets a lot busier at the end of the week.
Ramps up, yeah.
But I thought Wednesday was a telltale sign where, God, this is a little more busier than normal. And then it just progressed over, of course, the next 3 or 4 days. But kicking back to yesterday, just buzzing around the arena. And, have you been to Allegiant yet?
No.
Have you had an opportunity?
Have not.
It sits on the east side of the the west side of the freeway, opposite of the strip, and of the 15, of course. And where it's at, it's pretty much like you can get to Allegiant 18 ways, back streets, small streets. All of the streets pack jammed, look like Mardi Gras. You see the so much red because the Chiefs and the 49ers both float in the red. But, of course, you see all the, just like Draper, you see the ponchos of the Eagles and the Lions and all those different teams. But I thought it was just packed jam compared to some of the other Super Bowls I've been able to attend. But I really thought it was a lot of foot presence around the arena, more than I've ever seen for a Super Bowl.
Do you think maybe it was kind of a late arriving crowd for the whole event because so many of them came from closer to Vegas?
Truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think more than ever, Vegas is expensive in its own right, and when you put the Super Bowl there, you could see the prices of everything up.
Uh-huh.
I mean, between parties, watch parties, all these different, hotels and everything. So it makes a lot more sense for me to come in and knock out 48 hours compared to the rest of the week.
Uh-huh.
Unlike where other Super Bowls, I feel like I've seen people there for the week.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. So Manny, wondering on the YouTube chat, what happened to Drapes? We're trying to get a better connection with Drapes, so we'll get him on. Jay says we have to have Drapes on today because he's earned his time to crow a little bit. I don't know about that, but that's that's fair. It does make some sense.
He has to, though, right?
No, when he comes in wearing an Eagles. I looked it up. That thing's called like a serape. Okay. Or a horongo.
Yes.
What do you think other Eagle fans would think of him if he showed up in an Eagle serape?
Nothing. Huh? I think they would love it. Fly, Eagles, fly. Yeah. I mean, you know how it goes. If you have that one exclusive piece that nobody else have, you're the man.
I guess. To me, it smacks of, I got to get something with the Eagles on it. Is that all you have? Is a serape? See, that's all we have. I'm sorry. All right.
You want to see a hoodie, a T-shirt, or a jersey? That's what you're asking?
I think it makes his ridiculous stance even more ridiculous. But that's fine. It's true. As you say, it's unique. Haven't seen anything quite like that. Do you think, Jay, and did you feel at the time, I know we touched on this already, when Kyle Shanahan wins the coin toss in overtime and decides, we want the ball first, do you think that that doomed the 49ers? Andy Reid said he's a smart guy. He must have had a reason. There was a guy, Mike Sando, writing in The Athletic, said a former coach texted him and said, that is a big mistake.
Mm.
I don't know. What did you think of that?
It's kind of like the college. I'm a huge college football guy, Whitey. It's the OT type of situation with the college football. Do you want to, set the precedent, or do you want to know what you have to answer to? I thought it was uncharacteristic of Kyle because Kyle normally plays it safe, and we know he always
defers
all 100%. But it didn't bother me because, again, I thought the defense looked gassed and they needed a little time and opportunity. And the other point of it, too, and this goes for the whole game. You can mark these words for the whole game. I truly thought the 49ers were one touchdown away from putting the Chiefs away at any point in time during the game.
Mm-hmm.
truly. And I know we could talk about the extra point. We're going to talk about that guaranteed today. I know we could talk about the defense. I thought the 49ers had every opportunity to score a touchdown. And even on the last drive in overtime, where they went right back to the third down play they hit Juwan Jennings earlier in the game, and he was wide open. And as you said, the right side of the offense, you see Buford kick out, you see McKivitz, and it just didn't, you know, it didn't finish where it needed to go, and he had to float the ball. But it was the perfect call. They just didn't execute it. Mm-hmm. I truly thought, and I say all that to say this, I appreciate the fact that he was aggressive, unlike a lot of times we see with Shanahan. I thought he was passive in a lot of times where it's like, come on, Kyle, if we're going to coach it like that, just coach the whole game that way.
Yeah, I thought it made sense on a number of fronts. As you said earlier, the defense was tired, so you get the ball. If you score a touchdown, you're in great shape, because then even if they score, then all you need is a field goal. You get the ball third. I understand that thinking. We wanted to be the team. This is what he said. We wanted to be the team that got the ball that for that third possession of the overtime, because then you have a chance to win the game. Didn't work out, but it made sense to me. And I don't. When I look at the reasons why the 49ers lost that game, that's not even on my list. Well, they decided to take the ball, start overtime. That's nowhere near my list.
I'm with you. I don't think that really played a part in it. I think, if anything, it kind of assisted in what they were trying to do. If they score a touchdown there, man, I continue to keep on saying, I thought the Chiefs, they didn't have enough in the tank. You could see it. You could see it, man. I'm sitting there looking, and I'm telling them, man, I'm like, man, these guys are one touchdown away from really putting the Chiefs away. Mm-hmm. They had them on their heels in many opportunities. And I just thought Kyle called, again, there was aggressiveness in certain instances where you didn't expect it, and then there was passiveness where I'm like, oh, okay, Kyle, I've seen him do something different, and he kind of relented on some of that.
And, you know, you mentioned the missed extra point, and not to get too caught up in the numbers, but you could argue that that might not have even hurt them at all. We'll never know. But if you make that, you're up four, Chiefs go down, they're probably not going to kick a field goal. They were going to try to score a touchdown, I would think. If they'd scored the touchdown, you'd have been in worse shape. We'll just never know. But given the math of that, the Chiefs then, their next two possessions, they went for field goals. They would have gone for a touchdown at least one of those times.
Right.
And if they would have gotten it, the game wouldn't even have gone to overtime. So, yeah, that was a blunder, no question. It was such a low kick. But I don't think that was a factor either. And then Moody, those other two kicks.
Yeah.
My goodness. He even held the record for the longest Super Bowl field goal for about 45 seconds.
Right. Moody, you can't blame a kicker for missing an extra point. That's on the blockers.
It was pretty low, though, I thought.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
Block somebody.
Uh-huh.
You shouldn't even be that close.
That was a problem a couple times yesterday.
Yes, a few times. I mean, and especially the offensive line. I thought Purdy had opportunity to hit a few people that he couldn't because he didn't have time. And we've seen this, though, Whitey. We've been talking about this. It hasn't been in the forefront because it's just been Purdy, 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 Purdy. Is Shanahan going to, you know, is he going to let it slip? But the offensive line for the 49ers – in pass protection, they haven't been the best all season, to be honest.
You're right. You're right. They've been pretty good to really good when it comes to run blocking. Mm-hmm. But pass protection, not so great.
Trent was getting worked, man.
That was one of the keys yesterday.
Yes, Trent was getting worked a few times. Mm-hmm. I thought Aaron Banks had a better game than that. I'm like, come on, Trent.
Yeah.
What's going on? I mean, just getting worked a few times on that side.
That, to me, was one of the most impressive things about Purdy's game, given how much pressure he was under. He limited sacks, and he never threw an interception.
He played a good game.
He did.
I don't want to say he matched Patrick Mahomes because he lost.
Right.
And again, greatness happens when great players do things. I get it. He had every opportunity. He didn't get it done. You got to give Pat Mahomes the love. But I truly think Purdy played a pretty good game. Not a great game. Mm-hmm. Thought he played a good game. Hence, same thing. I think Pat Mahomes played a good game. I don't think he played a great game. I just think he made one more play than Brock Purdy. And I don't put it on Purdy as not making that play. I think there were some moving parts to it, of course, because we're talking about 11 men on the field. I think Pat Mahomes had a little more time than Purdy to make the play.
Yep, and I thought one of the things that hurt the 49ers, especially in the second half, the Chiefs played a lot more man-to-man.
Yes.
And when they played zone and Spagnuolo, maybe he's just being nice, he said – Purdy is better than I thought at playing against a zone. Purdy knows in the zone, he knows where he's going to throw the ball before the snap. I think. Man-to-man, obviously, you don't know that. And the 49ers receivers, as gifted as they are, they're not especially fleet of foot. They're bigger and rangier, which is great after the catch. But as far as getting separation, I thought that at times was an issue yesterday. And that's one of the things. That's one of the reasons Purdy was back there. And he just had nowhere to throw the ball. Plus, he was under duress. They made up for it. They figured a few things out, attacking the edges. But those three and outs in a row just killed the 49ers. Did they not? They just killed the 49ers. The greatest offense, Kyle Shanahan's offense, and they were just helpless. They looked like the 49ers against the Vikings or the Browns or the Bengals again for that stretch during their worst stretch of the year.
But for me, and that's the thing, it's, of course, moving parts. But I don't think Kyle put them in the proper place they needed to be. And, you know, and this is something I would love to have a discussion and with Drapes on here, too, is Whitey. And you tell me where you think, not now, but somewhere down the show. Mm-hmm. I think it's time for Shanahan to let Purdy have a little more responsibility in this offense.
Yeah. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that'll never
happen. I know. And that's part of the argument and conversation against Shanahan is, you know, he's got to have his guy and it's got to be. But I'll say this, and you tell me what you think. There were a couple opportunities you could see Purdy's wheels working. And I know he wanted to call an audible. Mm. And he probably just didn't have no secondary option. There probably was no secondary option. He took a step back a few times. I'm like, man, he sees something. Mm. I could see something. You know, watching the whole field, it was a couple times where the Chiefs were loaded on the left side. And it was a pass play. And Legarius or McDuffie or someone would be on the outside by themselves. All by themselves. And he would move McCaffrey out there. And I was like, I know he wants an audible. And he couldn't do it.
What would happen if somebody in the 49ers screamed at Shanahan on the sideline the way that Kelsey was screaming at him?
Oh, man, they might not have a job today. Unless it was about five or six guys, yeah, they probably would be cut.
When we come back, the one play that, of course, turned the whole Super Bowl around. We'll see if we can't get Drapes back in the conversation as well. Thank you for being with us on this difficult day for 49er fans. Kings fans, too, frankly. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports.
The NFL.
Situation developing here on the YouTube chat. I hadn't anticipated this. I understand it. I just wouldn't have guessed it was going to happen because we got Raider fans going after 49er fans now.
Like, what?
Well, yeah, it was like, well, we beat the Chiefs in
Las Vegas. Go. Come on, man.
The 49ers didn't.
Come on, man.
Yeah, then you got somebody says, well, 49ers, after they played the game, they went back to the Bay Area. The Raiders didn't. So
stayed at home.
Yeah. So back and forth.
You know what, Whitey? There wasn't a major Raider presence.
Really?
It wasn't. I was expected to see a lot of fun. I get it, you know, Chiefs and then 49ers in the game. But I think I've seen more, a bigger presence from other teams than the Raiders. I truly do.
Well, I don't know if it had anything to do with it, but, you know, that was a tough Super Bowl for Raider fans. You know,
yeah, for sure. Chiefs, it was a no-win situation.
In your facility, taking on the freaking 49ers, so I don't know. We'll get Kyle Draper back on as soon as we can. Kyle flew into Phoenix today with the Kings. Of course, they play there tomorrow night. We had some connection issues that are not his fault. They're not our fault. They're just, that's the way it is, and we're working on them. And push come to shove, we'll at least get Kyle on the phone today, because I guess he has some things to say about the game. Which it turns out, by the way, keep in mind, anything he says blasphemous about the 49ers. I don't think he even saw the game yesterday. Right? He wanted to.
He admitted to it.
Right.
Now you got him, Whitey.
Yeah. When he says, I don't know why the 49ers, and they won the toss, and then they took the ball. Well, that's not what happened. So...
He doesn't even know what's going on.
Yeah. And as he explained earlier, I apologize to those who did hear it. He was watching with the team yesterday. Since Coach Brown's son is a quality control coach with the defense, the team stayed in Oklahoma City so they could watch the game, but there were storms there. And I guess the DirecTV went out. So that kind of put the kibosh on that party. Then everyone was watching individually. Sounds like Drapes didn't get to see much of the game. But we'll get them on as soon as we can. Now, as far as the one play that turned the whole game around, well, we'll get to that top of the hour. I don't know what you thought of the punt return that just wasn't to be. But it was difficult because it reminded, obviously, a lot of 49er fans were reminded of the Kyle Williams play. There were a couple other plays. There was one play, and it was almost like the football god said, 49er fans,
man,
I'm sorry. There was a, you know, the overthrow to Debo in the end zone?
Yeah.
It's like, it's Emmanuel Sanders all over again, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and there was a couple times where the Chiefs were facing, it's 3rd and 15, and I was like, oh, no, not this again. But the muffed punt, I know somebody on Twitter asked me, why didn't Ray-Ray McCloud just call for a fair catch? Well, it didn't matter once it bounced off of
Flanagan. Luter.
Yeah, once it bounced off his foot, it didn't matter if it was a fair catch or not.
No.
Line ball.
You know what? And I'm going to the extreme here, White. It's on this situation is this. At what point are the 49ers going to just understand, and it sounds crazy, don't even put nobody back there at this point.
I think they tried that at times this year, and then they decided, well, we got to put somebody back there.
You don't,
unfortunately.
Though. You don't, though.
I know.
Because the 49ers haven't had a punt return in I don't know how long. I have to look that up. They're not running it back. You're not – the percentages of you running it back are almost obsolete compared to what we've seen happen over the last 15 or so years for punting. It's as you said, the football gods are laughing at laughing at the 49ers in our face. Don't – I'd rather have it on the one-yard line than do what they did.
But can't they kind of split the difference and go out, spend time, and find someone who can actually – is halfway decent at catching a punt and maybe giving you, you know, 4 or 5 yards?
Ray-Ray's been okay, though.
Yeah, I know.
Ray-Ray's been all right. And it wasn't his fault, minus the fact that he tried to pick it up instead of falling on it. I give you that. But that was just bad luck, man. It's bad luck.
I guess. I mean, they were all screaming, right? I think their code word is Peter. I think that's what Shanahan said, and that means get out of the way, get out of the way. And Luter figures, I'm not in the way. I'm good. Right off of his foot. And I guess Ray-Ray thought he could pick it up and run with it, right?
Yeah, it should have just fell on it.
Yeah.
In the arena, they did terrible. Shouts out to everyone, I should say, that had a part to play in putting on the Super Bowl. Let me say that, too, to the men and women and some children who had, you know, performances and things like that. Mm-hmm. I thought the NFL put on a pretty good show when it came to Vegas for it being the first time.
See, I'm glad to hear that. Excuse me for interrupting.
No,
but
of course.
Because I wonder, do they really only care about what it looks like on TV, or do they care about the fans? And it sounds like you guys got a good show.
Yeah, I think they do. I truly do think they care about the fans. And, you know, I think this is my fifth one. Vegas, to me, felt more fan-friendly than the other four I've been to.
Wow.
And, you know, there's something in what we do, Whitey, when it comes to, like, media. And, you know, I get this question quite a bit from people of, you know, are there real fans there, or is it more corporate? Like, I've always felt it's more corporate in the four that I've went to. Mm-hmm. I truly believe I thought I saw way more fans in the arena, you know, this time. And I felt like it was more of a fan presence in and around the city, and of course it could have just been Vegas, but I also felt like, you know, going back to a couple segments ago, I really thought it was huge when it came to like the watch parties around Allegiant, you know, on that side, the terrible casino and things like that. Like, it was a ton of people, man. Tons and tons of people. Tons of people.
A lot of 49er fans, right?
Oh, tons of them.
Yeah
tons of them, like, Chiefs too, though.
After a first down, I heard woo, woo, woo. So
of course.
Like, a lot of 49er fans.
Oh, it was pro 49er crowd for sure.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close. Mm-hmm. Not even close.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's see what Gil has to say. Gil, you're on with the Drive Guys. What's up?
Hey, guys. Just want to let you know, love your show. Been a Raiders fan since 76, but I must say, as much as I was in pain for watching the Super Bowl, didn't go to a Super Bowl party, just watched it in peace at home. I was, I wouldn't say rooting, but I preferred the Niners win because I just can't stand Kansas City, and that's a division rival. And there was two surveys that I saw that said 80% of Raider fans preferred the Niners to win over 20%. And those 20%, they found that there were more NorCal Raider fans that were preferring to KC, and I don't get that. How can you root for a division rival over, you know, a former geographic rival? But as I sat there watching the game, I told myself, and I remembered as the Raiders beat them in BKC in Christmas. I said, I told friends, I said, you can't allow Mahomes with to have the ball with X amount of time to either tie the game or win the game. I go, when you're on offense, man, you got to do what you had to do and keep that ball away. And so I thought that Shanahan made some errors in going to Purdy a little too much and not sticking with McCaffrey. I thought McCaffrey was your guys' like guy, like use him more in the pass and the run and just keep that ball away. And I don't know.
Thank you, Gil. I appreciate your comments. Right. I didn't realize that. Yeah, that's a tough one. I guess there are some, maybe I'm wrong, maybe there are some Raider fans who are like the old split cap Ace Giants. Maybe there are some Raider fans who are like, I like 49ers too. I mean, I don't
know. Bay Area fan. He's basically a Bay guy.
I guess. I know you felt that way also about Shanahan and his play calling.
Yeah, I didn't really like it. I think it's the opposite. I thought he went to the run a couple times where it's like, come on, man, let Purdy let it go. You know, that's why we have him. This is not Jimmy G back here. I trust him a little more than Jimmy G. We have to go. It's time to go. Go put the stamp on the game. Go trying to win it. Like I said, I really thought Shanahan was like the opposite of what he does and what he, you know, how he normally operates in many situations of the game. Normally when he throws, he was running. Normally when he runs, he throws. Normally when they do, like, I thought they didn't use the outside enough. Mm-hmm. They ran inside quite a bit more than I believe where I thought the Chiefs were stronger inside and a lot weaker on the outside. You saw a couple times where Elijah Mitchell came in and ran to the right side. You know, again, when no one was out there, Whitey, no one was out there, and he'd get you 7 or 8. I truly believe Shanahan did the opposite in many different times, and I don't know if it was the pressure. I don't know if it was because he was going against Andy Reid. I don't know if he's been hearing the whispers that people like us have been saying over the last couple of years, you know, go for it. Were you surprised when he went for it in the first quarter?
I was just gonna say, when they went for the pass to Kittle, when they went for it, which was later in the game.
Yep.
I understand it. I agree with it, but I was really surprised.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was like, you're out of character.
Yeah.
It you're was really like out of character.
Bizarro Shanahan, anti-Shanahan in some ways. But he was asked about that, Gil, after the game. You may have heard him. He was asked about getting away from McCaffrey. It was really, you can imagine, you know, he was just, they're all, every loser of a Super Bowl, they're just dying inside, and they're just, you know, and he has questions from all over, and he answers everyone. But he was asked about getting away from the running game, and he said, we didn't get away from the running game. We just didn't have the opportunity to run. They were facing some, you know, there was just a lot of second and longs and third and longs that are hard to run.
Yes.
In, right? That's part of the things that happened.
But I thought he got away from Elijah Mitchell and Mason a long time ago, though.
Yep.
Very all in the season. Very early on in the season.
And I think that's just because he loved McCaffrey so much. And McCaffrey did, I believe I just saw he's the first guy with 75 yards rushing and 75 yards receiving in a Super Bowl. Mm. But, hey, terrific.
Yep,
I'm sure everybody is celebrating that. When we come right back, how the 49ers, how they did what they needed to do to win but still couldn't win. That's what surprised me the most. And it's actually with the Drive, guys. We'll get Drapes back with us, too. Sacktown Sports.